the believer's relationship with God. I don't know where to speak so that you guys can see the sign here. Believer's relationship with God. I mean, the fact that He loves us. We love Him. We're in the family. This is mind-boggling when you think of an almighty God wanting us. In chapter 1, it's all about one big subject, and that is blessings. Blessings from God, blessings from Paul, the Son, blessing from the Holy Spirit, and blessings upon the church. And I got to get to it here. I'm sort of spinning around, not finding my book. Is it in my Bible here? Who stole Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1. By way of review, we've established that this was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome. He was in a city of Ephesus, which is on the western coast of modern-day Turkey, just across the Aegean Sea from Greece and from what we consider Europe. It was a big commercial theater. There were a lot of people coming and going. And Aquila and Priscilla, who are some key people, along with Apollos, up in Corinth later, they helped build that church. Chapter 1, as we've already said, is about the blessings of the Christian life. But we have reviewed, we have looked at blessings from the Apostle Paul, where Paul writes and says, "Grace and peace to you from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ." From Paul. Paul wished blessings on them. Then we learn specifically about the blessings from God the Father. And it's amazing. Everywhere you turn in your Bible, there's a Trinity. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be." First, God Himself is blessed. "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us already with" how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings. He's already given them to us. The key is knowing that they're there. I once read a story of a man whose son was graduating from secondary school. And let me borrow your Bible here for a second. And the son was sort of backsliding. And he was graduating. Every one of his friends were getting a car for graduation or getting some big gift. And his dad gave him a little envelope and a Bible. The envelope said, "Happy birthday." Oh, not happy birthday. "Congratulations, sorry. Congratulations, you've done well, and we're going to take you to dinner." He was very depressed. He wanted a car. He wanted, something big, and here they were going out to dinner. And it was on this Bible. So he sort of looked at the thing, and he puts the Bible down. And he says, "Thanks, Dad," and they go out to dinner. And he goes for weeks, and he's all mad at his dad. He's all mad at his family. Everybody else has got a car. Everybody has gone through graduation. Everybody else has pat him on the back. And he's real upset. One day, he's sitting there, and he looks at that Bible, that gift from his father. He looked at that Bible, and he started flipping through it. Out fell a key. And he picked up that key, and he went through there, and there's a little note in there saying, "Son, I bought you that car, but I want you to understand, you're not going to find the blessings anywhere outside of this book. I just gave you one blessing. There's a whole load more. Stay in this book." What changed his view there? He got happy, amen? And a lot of times, we don't know what God has for us until we get in that book, amen? And we find out there are a whole lot of things that just sort of fall out on the floor and we never knew we had. God has given us all spiritual blessings. Blessings from the Son. We looked at last week. We looked at how that He's redeemed us. He paid a price. He paid for a slave, and He paid a high price for him. Amen? He's forgiven us. He has revealed God's will to us. I mean, how does God communicate to people? He communicated in the Old Testament through prophets. Sometimes they were dark sayings. But in the last days now, He's spoken unto us by His Son. Amen? And He showed us His will. Showed us you must be born again. And you can live the Christian life. Gave us revelation of His will. Then we stopped right there, but let me show you the fourth one, if you will. Start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. He has made us an inheritance. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's look in verse 11 and verse 12. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, just in those two verses is volumes of stuff, but let me just say this. We've obtained an inheritance. How do you get an inheritance? By being in the family. By being a member of the family, you now inherit. And according to Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, we're not just saved, we're heirs of God. And what does it actually equate us? Joint heirs with who? With Jesus Christ. I have been, now we talk about this with adoption, I have been taken as a nobody, as a slave, brought into the family, and not just made now a servant in the home, but I've been made an equal son of the level of Jesus Christ as far as the blessings of God. He loves me no less than He loves His own Son. Do you understand that? And He will just as readily bless me as He will His Son. Because I am a fully received son of God. In the family of God. It's amazing. So I have an inheritance now. But let me show you. You got to understand this. The blessings of the Son is to actually make my life a blessing. Look at what He says here in verse 11. In whom we also we have obtained an inheritance, being, not predestined to be saved. Everybody, Calvinist wants to take and make predestination the beginning of the thing. Where you were predestined to hell, or you were predestined to heaven, and that's wrong. Predestination is something that happens once you get saved. Amen? Let me just put it this way. I gave you an illustration of a train, or a plane, or something. I have a ticket. But I'm not predestined anywhere until I get in the plane. Once I get in the plane's going to take me from A to B. Amen? Unless the pilot's drunk. When I got a Bible, I got the truth, but until I apply it and I actually ask Jesus Christ to save my soul, I'm predestined only for one other place. What is it? Hell. My destination is fixed. There's nothing I can do about it. So what do? I get into Christ. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a whole new creature. Amen? My destiny has changed. And once I get into that airplane, all of a sudden I am predestined to arrive at a location. Correct? And once I get into Christ, I'm predestined not only to arrive at heaven, but I'm predestined to be changed. There's one thing you got to mark down. If you're saved, you're going to be changing. You're going to be different than you were before you got saved. If you struggle with doubts of salvation, just look back at your life. One of the reasons why you would be doubting is you probably don't see any change. Amen? If you do see change, thank God. But if you don't see change, then you've got to start questioning and going, examine myself, the Bible says. See if I'm in the faith. Because if Jesus Christ is in you, you're going to show it. Who can light a candle and then put a bushel on top of it? Who can build a city on a hill and hide it? You can't. If you get the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, guess what's going to happen? It's going to show. Amen? So, there's a change that's going to take place in the Christians. So the predestination here, look what it says. Being predestinated, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In simple words, what He's saying is this. God's working things out His way. Because it's the way He does it. He will not work things out your way. So go ahead and just settle it. You're going to be depressed for a little while. But believe me, it'll be better than you ever imagined. Amen? When things don't work out like what you think, and you get all frustrated and angry at God, God, why this? Why did you allow that? As David did many times. When he was anointed, he was about 17 years old, and there was Samuel. Samuel came there and poured that oil all over him. His brothers bowed. They couldn't believe it. They were in the presence of the anointed king of Israel now. David standing there, he couldn't believe it. His own father bowing in front of him. And David, as this anointed, next to be in line king, within a few months, is running for his life. And not just for a few weeks, not just for a few months, but how long did David ultimately run for his life? 7 years. And during those 7 years, he writes some of the toughest psalms. And he writes and he says, "Oh God, where are you? Why have you seemed to abandon me? Why am I in such a place as this?" He was living in caves. He was running for his life. And you know what he could have, and he did, he got discouraged and he could have blamed God, but you know what? God was fashioning a king. God was doing something marvelous. And there's just something about realizing God knows what he's doing. You can blame Saul all you want, and you can get all upset at how Saul was ruining the life of David, but from God's viewpoint, everything was working out just according to plan. Amen? That's predestination. Once you get into Christ, once you start following Christ, it's going to get hard, but God knows where he's taking you. Amen? That's where predestination... You are predestined, Brother Martin. Now that you're saved, you're elected, predestined, his life is guaranteed going to be different than he ever imagined. And it has been, amen? And we may sit down and go over the all of the different particulars of his life and go, boy, that's not very good, that's not very good. But we haven't seen the end product yet, amen? We have not seen where God's taken him and what God's doing with his life. So, now, that's our point. What the predestination is doing, Martin, is making you an inheritance for God. Making you something for him. So, look at this. In verse 11, he goes on. Verse 12, he says, that we... Why is God working out all of this stuff in our life? Why would he even bother? He saved us. Why does he have to continue with this? Look, that we should be to the praise of whose glory? Of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That we who first trusted in Christ, we would say, would be to the praise of his glory. Man, what an amazing... You know, God made us glorious. You ought to go back and read Song of Solomon. Just how much the picture is of Jesus loving us. And just how the awesomeness of that relationship. And he says, and you know, love does that to you. Love makes the other person shine, amen? And that's this thing of the relationship between us and the Lord changes us into something that is a blessing to him. Ask yourself, am I a blessing to God? I mean, if I had a sit-down discussion with him, would he have a smile on his face, or would he just look and go, I'm embarrassed? It's scary. Over there in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the people of faith. It says, wherefore God... He's not ashamed to be called their God. You know what that implies? There are some people that he is ashamed to be called their God. I want to be to his praise. I want to be to his glory. So he made us an inheritance. All right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I kind of got sidetracked there, but I enjoyed it anyway. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Obviously, God has given us an inheritance, just to remind you here, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, here's your term, hath begotten us again. He's born us again, amen? He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. But this one's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's a good inheritance, amen? But you know, I don't know if you understand this, but God loves us like a husband loves his bride. And he treasures us. You ought to read back there in Zechariah where it says, God's got all these crowns, Jesus Christ has all these crowns, but his greatest crown is his people. Paul says there's a lot of rewards serving the Lord. I know one of these days I'm going to have plenty of rewards. But let me tell you the truth. Paul says this, you are my crown of rejoicing. People. And that's because he sort of was identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. There was this thrill, this blessing of being treasured by him. So he has made us an inheritance for Christ. We are his eternal treasure. We should. I mean, my life, my words, my attitude should be one of praise. End of story. I should reflect his glory. I should make him glad to be my Savior. Now, we've moved from the Father, the Son, now let's move to the blessings from the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, notice something here. We're going to see a process of faith here. Again, the Bible is always the final authority, and it settles every dispute. And if you ever get into somebody who deals with Calvinism and predestination and election, oh, speaking of that, I told the joke in Mallow. They didn't get it, but maybe you will. You guys are better. An old lady is standing at the side of the road, waiting to cross the road with another crowd, and the guard is there, the traffic warden, because the lights are out, and he's got all the traffic going, and he stops in the traffic. And he says, "Pedestrians, come across." And everybody moves at that old lady, and she's standing there. And so anyway, he leaves her there and moves the traffic to go on, and it keeps going, and then after a few minutes, he stops the traffic again. And that crowd had built up around that old lady, and he said, "Pedestrians, move across." And everybody moves at that old lady. And by then, she's tapping her watch, and she's tapping her foot, and she's getting impatient. And he sort of ignores her and starts the traffic up again. Third time, comes time to switch the traffic, and "Pedestrians, cross." She says, "You've had the pedestrians cross. Will you let the Pentecostals go too now?" She didn't quite hear it right. She was thinking of predestines. But anyway, the pedestrians. Anyway, you deal with somebody who's dealing with who's confused about Calvinism. These scriptures are the ones they use. But the funny thing is, they're clear as a South African Sunday, amen. Look at this thing, not an Irish day. But look at verse 14. Sorry, verse 13. The blessings of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." There's that phrase, "for his glory." But I want you to think for a second. There are some things that the Holy Spirit has done for us. Number one, he has sealed us. He has sealed it. You know what that means? It means a finished transaction. What do we call it? We sealed the deal yesterday, we say. When an official legal document is processed, it is stamped with an official seal to signify a finished transaction. It also speaks of ownership. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go back to the left and hold your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When it says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that means we are... This is hilarious about some people who think they can lose their salvation. let's be honest. As far as you and I are concerned, we're very leaky. Now, what I mean by that is every good in us just leaks out, man. We just don't stay good. Amen? So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you know what he does? He seals himself in. Look at your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of" who? "Which is" where? "Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, now that you're saved, glorify God" where? Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there. And he's locked himself in. Isn't that amazing? You and I have been sealed. He came in and he sealed up all the cracks. He's not going anywhere. Isn't that wonderful? "Ye are sealed until the day of redemption." It not only speaks of a finished transaction and ownership, but also security and protection. You know, when Jesus was crucified and was taken down from the cross and put in the tomb, the Pharisees went up there and they demanded a seal. They demanded that a garrison of guards stand at attention and stay awake in front of that tomb. And in order to make sure that nobody stole that body, they put a clay or a wax seal on the side to show that if anybody moved it, that it had been tampered with. And so they sealed it to show that doesn't belong to Joseph Arimathea. That doesn't belong to Jesus Christ. That belongs to the Roman government. Nobody's allowed to touch that tomb. You understand? And when the Holy Spirit sealed you, guess who you belong to now? God. God the Father. He put His seal of ownership, His mark of ownership on you. You know, we're driving. I know some of the farmers are getting weird. Neat and I were in Dingle, and we see the sheep, you know. Some of the sheep, they have this big red blotch on their rear end, you know. Some of them are blue. But they got pink ones now, man. It makes me, don't want to wear wool now. But you know what those marks are? They're marks of ownership. That's in case, I mean, they're all over the road. They're crossing over. But any farmer will know, that's my sheep. Oh, that's George's. Oh, that's Fred's, you know. They mark it. Listen, the world looks at us and they ought to be able to tell. They belong to the Lord. And that would be because there's somebody in you. All right, keep going. It also signifies authenticity. The signature of a letter proves its genuineness, but in the days of the Bible, they didn't sign the Bible. They sealed it. They would pour that wax at the bottom, and the person who wrote it would have a very fancy ring with their name on it, or maybe their emblem, and they would press that in there, and that was better than the signature. It marked that this was authentic. Notice the path of faith in verse 13. Notice this. Okay. He has sealed us. He's given us an earnest. Do I have this list on there? Nope. No way I have to do. Finished transaction, ownership, security, authenticity. Notice the path of faith. Let me read it again and go through the process. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice where the Holy Spirit shows up here. First of all, you heard the word of truth. Do you see that? Somebody had to preach the gospel to you. Secondly, you trusted. You believed. People have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then they were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now I got news for you. The Holy Spirit's working in the whole thing, you see. The Holy Spirit brings somebody to your door. The Holy Spirit sets down somebody next to you at the coffee shop. Amen? And the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you through their words. Jesus said, if any man hear my voice, well, when is he speaking? When you be a witness. And it's not just you talking then. The Holy Spirit will take Jesus and will speak in their heart. So the Holy Spirit's at work in all of it, but the Holy Spirit seals you, predestines you at the end, not at the beginning. Do you see that? Surprise, the path of faith. Everyone has to first hear the gospel. Everyone has to trust and believe. And then God takes over and He seals you and secures you for the rest of eternity. Any questions about that? Pretty simple, amen? Now, He not only has sealed us, but this is good. He's given us an earnest. Earnest is a fascinating English word. An earnest is the down payment to guarantee the final purchase of a piece of property. It's a down payment. And the reality is, the Holy Spirit in our lives is an earnest. Look there in verse 14. It's talking about the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our complete inheritance. Do you have everything in hand that God has for you? No, I don't have my mansion in heaven yet. I haven't seen it yet. But you know what God says? He says, Nico, to make sure you know how good it's going to be, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And that's just the beginning. That's what he's saying. When you buy a house, it probably won't be in Ireland, but when you buy a house, because of the expense, they're going to ask you to make a down payment, amen, to prove that you're going to keep paying it, correct? That's called an earnest payment, at least it used to be. And the Holy Spirit is God's beginning payment. That's pretty cool. Redemption is God's process of paying off all our sin debts. And that payment was made at the cross. And that is complete. Amen? But on top of that payment, God made a partial payment of what heaven is going to be like by giving us just a portion of His Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You're in the meat. I hope you're chewing. Amen? Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says this. For I reckon, he's a good southerner, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, now that earnest there is a yearning, expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What we're going to be really like when we get to heaven. For the creature was made subject to vanity, mainly the women, but all creatures, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected, God, the same us in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered one day, look at this, from the bondage of corruption. What does that mean? Body odor. From the bondage of decay, from the bondage of growing old, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You have trouble walking, you have trouble getting on a plane, you have trouble heights. One of these days you'll be in a place called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You want to go through a locked door? Go ahead. You want to go from here to Andromeda? Go ahead. You want to find the edges of the universe? Go ahead. It's called the glorious liberty. Now, I don't have that liberty yet, but I will have. Look what he says. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, us Christians also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We just have the beginning of heaven. Look what he says. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, specifically, the redemption of our body. Now, what did God redeem on the cross? My soul. He hadn't redeemed my body yet. One of these days he's going to come back and pick this old dirt ball, filthy, stinking mess of flesh. He's going to redeem it. He's going to pick it up. He's going to change it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's called the rapture, amen? The resurrection. And that'll be the completion of the process where God was unwinding the curse. The curse was to Adam and Eve, the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely what? Did they die? Yes. Not physically, but they died spiritually on the spot. Now, God was gracious and gave them 900 years and they lived a little longer. But physically, they did die. But looking at those two lambs, if they had not taken the skin of those lambs and trusted it would be payment for their sin, if they had said, oh, I don't like a bloody religion, oh, I've got my own religion, oh, I'll do my best, God, I don't want those lamb skins, they smell, they got bugs in them, it's just not the fad. If they had rejected those lambs, their soul would have died forever in eternity in hell. Amen? Now, their soul got saved by those lamb skins. Amen? Lambs dying, they get to live. Their body still died, regenerate their spirit. But God didn't intend for your body to stay in that grave. When he made you complete, and he's going to save you complete. Amen? So even though that body of yours is going into the grave and going to rot, and bugs and worms are going to eat it, hope you had dinner a long time ago, God's going to call back every molecule and cell, call it back together and raise it up and give life back to it again, but this time make it perfect. And going to put you back together, and you're going to go, oh man, this feels good. Oh man. John, I think you'll run the fastest for the first 1,000,000 years. Amen? Amen. You're going to be making up lost time. go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to these wonderful words. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, and believe me, if you're saved, they won't be able to figure you out. Amen? What's with them? The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a good verse for a Catholic. How can you know you're saved? The Bible tells me I am a son of God right now. Watch it. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. We know that when he shall appear, guess what we're going to be like? We're going to be just like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in himself, guess what he does? He keeps himself clean. He purifies himself even as Christ is pure. Listen, that Holy Spirit inside of you changes us, and I am a son of God, but I ain't what I'm going to be, amen? Somebody once said it this way, if I can remember correctly. Thank God, let's see. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. There's like three things. Can't remember. I'm not anywhere here. Oh, I don't know. It's just basically there's, I'm not what I ought to be. What is it? I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But thank God. At 3 a.m, it'll come to me. You know it. It's almost there. But the truth is, I don't know what I'm going to be like. But I know this, I'll be just like Him. Amen? And that is, the Holy Spirit comes into your life to give you a taste of that. Do you understand? He's just the earnest. He's in you trying to get you to realize it's only going to get better. Do you believe it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you get this tonight, you'll go out of here with a smile on your face. Amen? And earnest is like when you give an engagement ring to your future. Somebody once said, your future financee. Your future fiance. It is only the beginning. You give that girl your that ring and that engagement ring. It's only the beginning, isn't it? And she knows it. She can't wait for the checkbook and credit cards and everything else. Amen? It's only the beginning, and it just gets added to on the wedding day. And you know what? One of these days, the bride of Christ is going to have a wedding. Amen? The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 2, He says, and God Himself is going to show you the extent of His love. It's just mind-boggling that the Holy Spirit is the beginning of that. Now, what are our spiritual blessings? But you think about the election of the believer, the fact that He chose us, that He looked down and He went, I want you. You know what He said that to? Everybody. The fact that He looked down, now me, I look at the people and I go, I like this group. I can get along with this group. I choose you. But I choose somebody that's like me, you know. I choose somebody who likes me. But God looked down at a world that was not like Him and did not like Him. And the election of God is that all the world could be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. Isn't that wonderful? That's the spiritual blessing that you got, that you didn't have to stand up there and go, hey God, notice me! No, He's been trying to get you to notice Him. Top of that, another blessing is the predestination of the believer. The fact that He wants me to be with Him. It's fixed, amen? The moment I got saved, I got in a transport mechanism, Jesus Christ, that's taken me to be with Him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He wants us with Him. Third, the adoption of the believer. We are accepted as sons with full privileges. Remember the, I gave you the illustration, the perfect illustration, of the prodigal son who goes away from dad and spends his inheritance. He spends his health. He comes back and he says, I'd be satisfied to be a servant. Remember that? In your house. And the father says, my son which was dead is alive again. Bring him the ring, put shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. He was received as the full son. And that's how we are. The redemption of the believer. Redemption means he paid off any fees, any back taxes. He paid off everything. The revelation of the will of God for the believer. You say, I don't know what God's will is. It's in that book somewhere. And the Holy Spirit will show you, burden your heart. I guarantee you this. He might have already showed you and you were scared of it. And He's just waiting for you to finally click and go, all right, I agree. The purpose of the believer. You know, one of the blessings is, I'm for Him. Revelation chapter 4, 11 says, go there, go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The purpose of the believer is to be Christ's treasure. I wish you got that. I wish, and this is what a Barnabas is. A Barnabas looks at people and says, you know what? I want to encourage them so they become encouragers. A Barnabas seeks to bless so that more people bless. A Barnabas isn't a martyr that just gives and gives and gives and doesn't have anything left to give. The purpose of a Barnabas is so that the whole church becomes Barnabases. And the purpose of the believer is to cry out like David did in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Let me bless His holy name. He's talking to himself. Let me be a blessing to Him. There's a blessing in being a blessing. Haven't you learned that yet? Amen. How about the sealing of the believer? Is that a pretty good blessing? Is that pretty good? You're secure. Jesus said, John chapter 10, come on, the brain doesn't always work fast. John chapter 10. Show you something here. Yeah, there we are. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Verse 28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is an amazing thing. God shows layer upon layer of protection. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus says, Craig Ledbetter is in the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those nail-scarred hands, I tell you what, they're pretty strong. Those nail-scarred hands, they fashioned this universe. I think they can take care of me, amen? But it doesn't stop there. He says, my Father which gave them me is stronger than all. What is it? Is that the right word? Is greater than all. And no man plucketh them out of my Father's hand. So, there's two layers of protection around me, and then there's a layer of protection in me. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, God's got all the bases covered, amen? I had one guy, I mean, he's a great guy. I had one, he just believed you could lose your salvation. And I quoted that verse, he says, oh, good night, get over it. I know I'm in Christ's hand, but I can get out again. And I thought, whoa, what a sad thing. You know, what kind of salvation would it be if God would put you in His hand, and go, oops, well, there he goes again. Oh, I got to go after him. I mean, God's not a doting old man chasing after us. No, no, no. When we got it and put in Christ's hand, and his hand closed around us and secured us and holds on to us, as a shepherd does the lamb, then the Father's hand reaches around that thing, and then he puts the Holy Spirit inside us, and he says, you comfortable? Oh, I'm very comfortable. Believe me, nobody getting to you. And the next time the devil comes knocking, realize he's having to come through three layers of protection. God must be allowing something to make you better, stronger, more Christ-like. The sealing of the believer is a great truth. How about the presence in the Holy Spirit? You're never alone. When was the last time you just thank God that there is an inner voice that's not your conscience? By the time I was 17 years old, I had already burned out my conscience. You couldn't say anything to me that would speak to me about spiritual things and me care one thing about it. But when that woman put the fear of God in me and told me about hell and told me I needed to get saved, all of a sudden my conscience was pricked a little bit. And when I got saved, my old burned out conscience had a friend now. It was the Holy Spirit of God. That still small voice spoke, amen, deep inside. I've never been alone. You ought to just rejoice that you're never alone. And there's just something inside of you that says, pray, man. I pull out my day timer. I pull out my calendar, my diary there. And you know, it's a funny thing. You may think I'm weird. But I hear voices in my head. And I pull out my pencil. I say, what I got to do today? And you know, the first voice, pray. And I go, pray, pray. There's a voice in there, man, pray. And I'm just going along and I'm writing stuff and there's a voice in there. And it just writes down, make sure you do this. And I go, where did that stuff come from? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Now sometimes it's the devil. Go back to bed, you know. Test the spirits. But you're not alone, amen? The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And I'm going to stop there. Because there's some good stuff coming on about the blessings of the church and the maturity of the church. But isn't God good? Isn't God good? I mean, just, yeah. That's quite a list, amen? And we haven't finished the chapter yet. It's just chapter 1. Amen. You say, well, I don't see any money up there. You know, I don't see a Ferrari anywhere, you know. You're looking for the wrong blessings. A man's life doesn't consist of the things that he possesses. Not in this life, amen. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for untold blessings. We probably have missed, as we've read through these verses, we probably missed another dozen truths in ways that you're just a blessing to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no turning or variableness. You just keep blessing, God. And as Weston pointed out, I believe it was this morning, our biggest sin is unthankfulness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Here we are, learning about those wonderful works, and our hearts should swell. If the Holy Spirit of God is in our hearts, we will swell with praise and worship and thankfulness. If we're kind of numb, if it's kind of quiet inside our hearts, we need to ask some serious questions. Whew. Maybe you're just so backslid, I don't know. Oh, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you please take serious note, be very somber about your relationship with the Lord. He ought to be real. These things ought to just thrill your heart. Because they're eternal. What you have here, I don't care if you do have all the money. I don't care if you do have all the friends and all of the fun and all of the things that you want. They fade away. And they'll fade rapidly. But the inheritance that we have, the blessings that we have, are incorruptible. They fade not away. And it's because we were born again. Not because we're worthy. Not because we did anything. But because we received a gift. Are you loving that gift? You know, fall in love with the giver. And I think the giver will give you more gifts. I think the giver will bless. Don't fall in love with the gifts. I'm glad to be chosen and predestinated and sealed. But I love the giver. I love you, Lord. I love you. May we love you like you deserve more than ever before. Bless our week, God. May every day these lips only bless your name. Only give thanks. No complaining. No griping. Yeah, we got troubles. Yeah, we're banging our head against the wall and struggling. But oh, God. May we just stop and step back and go, but God's good. Always has been, always will be. That's going to be tested. Every one of us are going to hit something and going to go, drat. Lord, remind us. Remind us of these blessings. You have blessed us with all spiritual blessings because we're in Christ. May we praise you for those in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.